Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy.com, and I don't think I should be interviewing today's guest. I think I should be hiring his company. Joining me today is Brad Martineau. He is the co-founder of Sixth Division. They do marketing, automation, consulting. In addition to it, they also have other services that help entrepreneurs like me grow their businesses, like help hiring and so on. Brad, welcome to Mixergy.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
This is kind of outside of your focus. My audience is largely software entrepreneurs. What kind of customers do you have today?
We have customers all over the board. We've had the Church of Scientology out. We've had a division of IBM come out. I've gone to the University of Utah and one of their technology commercialization departments, down to real estate agents, MMA studios, a lot of people that you've actually interviewed.
Laura Roeder,
Amy Porterfield, Daniel Fagella.
What did you do for them?
So Daniel Fagella, when he came out, it was for his gym that he's running up in D.C. And primarily what we worked on was he wanted to, in his follow-up, he wanted to be able to offer, I believe it was either an info product. This was like 3 years ago. It was either an info product or supplement sales, like around one of his informational businesses. Yeah. So we, for him, we got fancier than we would now when we start. This was back before we learned that the key is you start simple and get fancy later. But what we built is a system where he could have a series of emails going out and he'd have a little banner at the bottom that had an offer. And based on how long they'd been in his system, that banner would automatically change. But it didn't matter what the email was. So the email would be the exact same for everybody, but their offer at the bottom would change based on what they had bought or not bought.
Gotcha. So,
Amy Porterfield and Laura Roeder was just getting – for Laura, it was when she shifted her entire business model from like products to her subscription model right now. That was she. We actually went to San Diego, but we helped her make that shift and get the dash dialed in and all that stuff done. So
what would it cost me if I were to hire you guys?
So our high-end offering, which is the I want to come out and just have everything done. We do a makeover. You'd come out to our offices. It costs $12,000. Spend 2 days one-on-one with one of our consultants. And basically what we do is come in and say, okay, you want to leverage automation in your business. What does that look like? Like, what does it look like to have 100% of your business automated? And then let's go take the most impactful areas of your business and let's map out exactly what needs to be happening there. And then we dive in and we go build it and you walk out and it's done. And typically when I say you walk out and it's done, and we were talking about this before, we take owners and say, okay, here's the structure of what you ought to be saying in your follow-up. Now go write it. Or if people don't like to write.
Do we write it in those 2 days if I bring my writer down with me?
Absolutely. And so like we do like the blueprinting and the planning in the first couple of hours of the first day. And then from there, there's a lot of split of, hey, you've got content to create and I'm going to go create a whole bunch of stuff. Our coach will go create a whole bunch of stuff inside Infusionsoft or inside whatever. Well, we work with Infusionsoft right now exclusively. And so we would go build the structure and the placeholders for all the emails and the reporting and the tracking. And then the writer or the business owner or whoever would go create the content, shoot videos, and then we merge it all back together and we're ready to press go.
We should talk about that because I'd want something more than just the 2 days. I want to continue. And also, I'd love to find a way for my audience to watch everything that we do so that we're not doing it in isolation, but they get to see what we're tweaking, what we're adjusting, every single thing except for, you know, the email addresses that we add
totally
into the system.
Would love to. In fact, quick story, blast from the past. So you, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, you were looking into Infusionsoft.
Yes.
Do you by chance remember the name of the sales rep that you were talking
about? Yeah, because every time I call Infusionsoft, I see his face still. His name is Chase, right?
Yeah, so he works for us.
I know. So here's the thing with Chase. I negotiated like crazy with him.
I know.
He would not come down a freaking penny with me. And I know for a fact that Infusionsoft negotiates down. But for some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe he didn't like me. Maybe he had no juice there. Maybe I just didn't ask the magic question. Why didn't he give me a discount?
We literally were talking about, he didn't have the power. He went to his boss and his boss didn't understand. Anyway, his boss didn't do it when he was like, we were just talking about, he's like, I know, I tried to get him the hookup and I couldn't get it passed off and he just didn't have the power to pull the trigger. So
I couldn't believe it. All my friends were getting discounts and I'm so stubborn that I said, I will not handle this insult. I am not going with Infusionsoft. AWeber all the way.
Yes. Huh. Yes. That's
so basically what I did was I burned both of us and one of us hurt more than the other.
Yeah.
Congratulations, AWeber. You won. The
yes.
rest of us lost. All right. Anyway, I did get the discount though. I ended up going through one of their consultants and their consultant gave me a deep discount. That's the answer with Infusionsoft. All right. Let me continue with your story. And then I would love to, if you guys are up for it, to find a way to work with you. And by the way, by find a way, I mean, can we do it tomorrow? Can we find a way to set something up fast where I come in and everyone who's listening to me gets to watch everything? And if I suck, they should watch it. And if you suck, they should see it too. And if we're great, they could learn along with it. But I don't know how. I'd love for them to watch the whole process unfold.
Absolutely.
All right. So the reason this whole thing started, the reason that we're here is that you got laid off.
Yes. Yes. From I prefer Infusionsoft. To say fired because it's more dramatic, but I'll go with laid off. Yes.
What happened?
I prefer to say that I got fired. It's more dramatic. You get better responses that way. But yeah, I got laid off.
I kind of believe it must be because Infusionsoft was growing so fast. How does a company that's growing so fast lay off? Layoffs happen at Detroit. Company can't afford to keep their people going. Did you do something wrong?
No. So I was part of 10% of the company got laid off. So this was March 3rd, 2010. Mm-hmm. I think it was either January or February. I think it was February. They hit a rough month. And it was at a time where basically the CEO, Clay, at the time said, look, if we have another bad month, then we're going to have to do layoffs and we won't be able to do any severance. And so they proactively, as a measure to make sure that the business was protected, they laid off 10% of the company. At that point, I want to say there were about 150 employees. So I was one of the 15. Okay.
Infusionsoft is marketing automation software, right? It's a way for us to collect email addresses of people who come to the site and are interested in getting our newsletter, and then to send them different emails based on what they do via email and how they interact with us. It's also good for sales. It's so hard to explain, but I think I should explain something about what Infusionsoft is.
I say it's three components. It's a core database where you can put all of your contacts, prospects, customers, partners, and then you've got email marketing. So think of MailChimp, Constant Contact, AWeber, bolted onto that. And then you've got a billing/online sales component bolted on too. So I can charge people's credit cards. I can send them whatever content they want. And based on the fact that they bought one thing, I can start sending them new content. But it's all of that kind of mixed together.
Yeah. And frankly, so I got the new Apple Watch, right?
Okay.
And on it is a monitor that tells me how many calories I burned. And usually if I go for a 6-mile run and take my son for a long walk in a stroller, I will not complete the circle that shows me how many calories I'm supposed to burn for the day. I have to do more than that. Today, I completed the circle because today I was dealing with Infusionsoft. And the reason that I had all this heart going crazy is because of what you described. Like 500 different things are going on at the same time. And the person who we hired to handle it happens to be away on vacation. And so it's on me and I've got to do it in between interviews. And anyway, that's the frustration. So you get fired from this place. When you're fired, do you feel a little bit down? Do you feel like my life is over?
So I had just had my fifth child in January. I got my brother. So two of my brothers are the founders. They called me and came over because they didn't want me to come in the next day and hear like everybody
founders
else.
Founders of Infusionsoft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they fire you because they what? They want to make a point to the company that, hey, we're willing to let go of our own guy?
I don't think that's why. I would say I was younger and less mature and understanding. Let's put it this way. You ever been around somebody who's really smart and is a prick and a pain in the butt to deal with?
Yeah.
That was me.
Okay. Are you sure you were really smart at the time? Because they're the ones who are running Infusionsoft.
You know what? That's a great follow-up question. I was trying to make myself feel better and look better, and you called me on it. Realistically, probably not. I had like my vision. It was me and I had my vision of what I wanted to do. And it wasn't really I wasn't willing to give up on what I wanted to do to really buy into everything that was happening at Infusionsoft. So I was valuable and I provided a lot of value in different areas that I do know. I don't know necessarily that I was as smart as I thought that I was. I hadn't learned how to like go about getting things done without bugging people. So,
well, you said you had a different vision for where Infusionsoft was supposed to be than your brothers who owned it.
Yeah.
What was your vision for where it was supposed to be?
So I'm very heavily like a product focused person. I'm big on the product side. So I had a vision of like what the product could be and how we ought to make tweaks. Clay is much more of a marketing and sales CEO. So when you have a marketing and sales leader in an organization, That's gonna be the predominant thing that's going on is you got marketing and sales activities, and it happens at to the detriment of the product. So me on the product side, I'm fighting for, hey, we need to do more stuff on the product side, but I didn't know how to fight without causing problems. So I put myself in a situation where I was valuable but also noisy. And so it made sense, like, hey, you know, this is probably time. And I didn't realize it then, but I was born with entrepreneurial blood. And most entrepreneurs will tell you that they're certifiably unemployable. And I was that. I just didn't realize it yet.
Wait, so Clate is your brother?
Clate's my brother-in-law. He married my sister. And then the other two founders, Scott and Eric, are my brothers.
I see. So were you, if you were honest with yourself, were you also a little bit jealous that these guys built this incredible software company? They're getting rich every day. And yes, they're struggling, but they're doing well.
That's a great question. No, surprisingly. And the reason why, this is a tribute to them. The reason why is before they hired me back in 2004, they brought me in and they sat me down and said, okay, look, here's the deal. We're going to hire you into the support rep position, but I need you to understand something. We own this company and our plan is we've got plans to go do this. So we're going to sell it at some point. This was back then when they were going to sell it. And we're going to make a lot of money and you're not. And you've got to be okay with that from the very beginning. So I had gotten really clear on that. And there wasn't a jealousy thing there. There really was just like an internal rift of, I had a lot of things that I wanted to do on the product that you come at, like, think of putting an entrepreneur in a space where they kind of own something, but they don't have complete freedom. And it's just a recipe for butting heads. And that's pretty much what happened.
Where are you guys now with Sixth Division? How much revenue are you guys making automating people's businesses and helping them grow?
So last year, which is, I think, our second or third year, we did just a hair under $2 million.
Okay.
And this year, by the end of this month, we'll have done that this year.
Wow. All right. So we're talking double so
yeah,
far on track.
I think we're going to double this year, yeah.
Profit over $500,000?
This year, we'll break $500,000 in profit for sure.
So you leave the company, which is kind of painful. I know things turned out okay, so I'm okay pushing on that little bit of pain for a bit.
Yeah.
And then you end up at Salesforce Dreamforce conference. Why do you end up over there?
So that was about a year and a half later. And my now business partner, Dave Lee, he and I worked together at Infusionsoft. So he was the VP of marketing and sales over there for 6 years. He had quit about 6 months after me. And he went and worked at this company up in Scottsdale that basically does what we do at Sixth Division, but they do it for people that use Marketo and Salesforce.
Now, Marketo is like the high-end enterprise marketing automation software.
It's like marketing automation minus customer database minus billing, and it integrates with Salesforce. It starts at like $3,000 a month or something, or $3,500 a month.
Okay. And he was doing this for who? For not his own company?
No, not his own company. It's a company called LeadMD up in Scottsdale. And they're like the equivalent of what Sixth Division is in the Infusionsoft world. They are in the Marketo world.
Okay. So he's up there. You guys end up at the same conference. Why?
Well, so he's up there and then he calls me and says, hey, we need somebody to come work at LeadMD. And I'm doing I'm kind of messing around with some stuff, but I hadn't gotten into a groove of really what it means to be an entrepreneur, which is code for, I was scared out of my mind. Right. So I have no qualms about acknowledging the fact that there was
what
about
do you mean
an 18
by scared
month-
out of your mind. Do you remember what you were afraid of or a time when you were especially scared?
Oh yeah. From the moment that I got fired until we went to InfusionCon in 2012 was just constant fear running in the background. And
fear of what? For me, when it's fear, it's often I'm gonna be homeless. I don't know why I always think I'm gonna be homeless. For me it's fear of people like Brad, who maybe admired the work that I did, are going to think, what a loser this guy was. We were totally tricked by him. It's stuff like that. What is it for you?
You know what? It was – so when I left Infusionsoft, there wasn't a person on the planet that knew more about how to make Infusionsoft work. I came out with my own expectations of I should go be successful. It was literally the fear of not come – and it wasn't even a fear of not being successful. It was a fear of looking like I was struggling. Like I just felt I created this own pressure on myself that I should come out and this should just be easy. And then it would be hard because it is. And then I'd get down on myself. And I was afraid like, look, this like I'm gonna be exposed as this fraud when everybody like I had kind of built up a name in the Infusionsoft space of like, all right, he's going to go crush it. Mm. And it was this like crushing weight of this isn't – I mean I didn't have an office space. I would go to Infusionsoft for the next year and a half. And I would sit in the back room. I just kind of walk in and everyone knew who I was and they were all cool with it. And I'd go sit in the back office that was empty. And I literally would spend 8 hours there and I wouldn't get a friggin' thing done.
And then you were there to start your own company?
Yeah, I was there.
Did you know what the company was going to be?
I created a company. It was called Infuse My Business. Basically, when they fired me, I said, all right, well, this is what I know how to do. I know how to do Infusionsoft stuff. So I'll go do a business doing this. And I started to do it and realized really quickly that I don't like services, the whole game of, hey, what's your project going to be? Let me quote it for you. Like, just not me at all. So I was trying to force myself to do work that I had no passion for. And I learned about myself that I have no discipline to do that. Like, I if I'm not behind something, I can't even get myself up to go do the work.
I see. I've had days like that where it's your business. You know you need to do stuff, but for some reason you can't get yourself to even do the stuff you know.
Yeah, well, and that, see, I think that's different. I have those days too sometimes where you just get in a rut. This was, I had chosen to go into a business with a business model that I fundamentally, like my DNA, fundamentally against. Just like fundamentally against. There's a little bit of a difference. And that's why I was so afraid. I'd go to Infusionsoft, sit down, be like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'd get hyped up and be like, no, this is stupid. I don't like this. They had a basketball court and I love playing basketball. So about every hour and a half, I'd go out and shoot hoops because it was the only way that I could like get a release from what was going on. Then I'd come back in and I had a severance and I had some savings. So I didn't know, I could afford to be stupid for a little while.
I see. And now this friend of yours, former coworker, says, hey, we could use you to come in and help us. Yep. You decide you're going to go to Dreamforce. You go to Dreamforce, which is the Salesforce conference. And what happens?
Yeah, so I got hired there. I got hired at the company. And in my second week, we were going to Dreamforce. And that's where their clients are. And they had a booth and everything in this company. So we get over there. And my business partner and I, we're staying in the same room. And we go into the first session on the first day. And it was, I don't know, something about how to use video marketing online. We walk in and sit down. And in the first 5 minutes, it became very obvious to us that this was going to be an extremely archaic presentation. It was like, holy cow, I feel like I just went back a decade. So we left and we went and talked like, oh my gosh, this is lame. Hung out in the hallways. We go into the next presentation. I don't even remember what the topic was, but we sat about 5 minutes and said, we can't do this. So we left and I had kind of planted the seed with him before, like, I don't know if this is going to work for me. So we went to the, you know, it's right there on the Moscone Center. We went, there's one block behind, there's an Office Depot. We grabbed the big old, I got some laying around here, but a big old post-it note. We went back into our hotel room. We stuck them up all over the walls in the hotel room and just started mapping out, okay, if we're going to do this, like, what does the opportunity look like? What kind of company do we want to create? Why are we doing this now? And why didn't we do it 6 months ago when he had first left? Like, what's changed? What are we looking at? We basically mapped out the foundation of what would eventually become Sixth Division, what it is today.
And what did you think it was going to be back then?
You know, it's funny because what we painted a picture of is pretty much what we've created. We actually, he was going through and cleaning out his house and he found one of those post-it notes. And we've got a bunch of notes that we took down. And the big vision back then was we want to come in and we want to own the Infusionsoft space. Like, we want to come in and we want to be like the Navy SEALs in suits when it comes to automation. Like, you think of the Army, the Navy, there's like the Navy SEALs and then there's everybody else. And that's what we wanted to create. And in addition, we also wanted to create a place like, for me, I don't like wasting time on crap that doesn't matter. So we're not going to track PTO. We're not going to have all the bull crap minutia that comes with the
What's PTO? Paid time off?
Paid time off, yeah.
Like, so like, for your employees, you mean?
Yeah, no, for our employees, for anybody. Like, I don't want to spend any of my time when someone says, hey, can I take 2 days off to go on a vacation? Like, you're an adult. Like, I think you can decide. You know what you need to contribute to the team. So
I see. So it was what the product was going to be, which is consulting service for Infusionsoft, the level you wanted to be at. You didn't want to be one of the smaller Infusionsoft people who was making 25 or 50 bucks an hour. You wanted to be the elite force. That meant that you also take on a lot of responsibility, and you didn't want to run the kind of company where you were dealing with the BS of running a company.
Yes.
I see. But what I don't understand is, I get how the internal culture was going to be different, but I'm looking at an early version of your website, which, wow, infusemybusiness.com. It's like five.
Yes.
It says, my name is Brad Martineau. I help small business owners rocket with Infusionsoft. I'm good at it too. Then there's a hyperlink. Learn more about me. I've worked with some of the brightest entrepreneurs and marketers. Read what they say. And I send out sick Infusionsoft tips. And sometimes I give away free consulting. Get in the loop. It feels like the more I read about you on the old page, this is what you're doing right now with Sixth Division. What's the difference?
Yeah, it's funny that you found that page. The primary difference is that we've built a team. So when I was doing that on my own, I realized a couple of things about myself. And this is, you know, you talk about the entrepreneurial journey. There's nothing that will teach you more about yourself than being an entrepreneur. And one of the things that I learned is I can't get behind stuff that has no, like I've got to be building something and I've got to work with people. So the primary difference between that website and where I was there and where we are now is we've got a team of people. Like, we've created a methodology that that we follow every time we work with clients. We've got a team of people that are as smart, if not smarter than me, when it comes to helping people with automation and with their space. So it's really...
But in the beginning when you were doing it, it was just you and Dave Lee. So there wasn't...
Yeah. At that point, it was just me.
Oh, with the... at that point, where I'm looking at the website, it was just you. But when you're talking about going to Office Depot, getting some white or some big post-it notes, et cetera, it's no longer just you. It's you and Dave Lee. You both see the opportunity together. I feel like that's a major difference. It's not so much the client work. It's that you have now had someone else to feed off of, someone else to validate you, totally. And also someone else to kind of keep you accountable.
Totally. Dave, if Dave were here, you'd recognize really quickly that he and I are opposites in many regards. And
I could see it instantly in a photo. Every freaking photo I've ever seen of you, you always have a hat. Now I'm at the about page on your site. His first note is, I don't wear hats.
Yes.
And it goes from there, the difference in the two of you.
Yeah, but you're right on. We're not where we are today if I don't partner with Dave Lee back in 2010 when we get there, or 2011 when
we
got.
Give me an idea. Back in the early days, after you guys drew out what the business was going to be, how did having a co-founder like Dave help you out, help you get going in a way that you couldn't before?
So, look, I'd love to sit here and paint this pretty story about how I had all the confidence in the world and I could just go figure stuff out. But for the first 2 years of the business, if I wouldn't have had him, I would have folded and quit. It was the like, hey, okay, I've got this idea. It was basically probably the most valuable piece was, hey, I'm thinking that this is all going to come collapsing down and I need you to talk me out of it. And it kind of went back and forth. Like, we'd have those conversations back and forth. So it's the... Like, this isn't a conversation you take home to a wife that's watching five kids and who's not like super into business. You don't take it home to your neighbors that are working for somebody else. And you can't really go talk to, I hadn't figured out how to go talk to employee. Like, you can't go to an employee and be like, hey, I'm thinking of shutting down the business. Talk to me about this, right? So in those early days, it was a lot of like just having somebody that could be like, dude, we're good. Like, we got this. And again, I'm a product person, so my mind goes naturally. I'm going to create the best possible product and service that we can create. And he's a marketing and sales guy. So he was able to take a lot of the pressure of marketing and the selling and all of that off of the plate so that I could go do the product thing and he could help make the revenue happen. So it was, again, we're not here today if Dave Lee's not in the picture.
The name Sixth Division, where'd it come from?
Well, it was after a long line of really crappy names. So we're sitting around trying to come up with a name, and we had gotten to the point where when you're naming something, and anyone that's tried to name anything will get this, we had gotten to the point where it started to feel like we were spending too much time, but we hadn't come up with a really good solution. And again, going back to what I said before, our brand or kind of our image or feel we wanted to be elite. We wanted to be like Navy SEALs in suits. I'm a big follower of, they were 37 Signals, but Basecamp. So we were playing around, do we try and name the company to be what we do? Do we go more like a 37 Signals approach where there's like a number? My favorite number is the number 13. We wanted to kind of go like military, yes, but not go full on like military theme. And sitting around and one guy's like, hey, what if we called it Sixth Division? You could say Brad was the sixth employee at Infusionsoft and he was always building the Sixth Division. And then it's evolved from there. We've got a couple of different angles we can play with it, but it stuck. It was good enough. And then we ended up getting a really good logo for it a couple of years later. I love it now. I had a little bit of reservations then, but that's basically where it came from.
I got to pry in your personal life for a moment. Did you just say that you had how many kids?
Five.
Five kids. And I'm looking at your brother on Twitter. He says he has six kids.
Yeah.
What is this? Is this a religious thing?
probably. So we're from a family of 10. We're all LDS, so Mormon. I mean, that's what it is. That plays a factor, but yeah.
Are you still a practicing LDS?
Yeah.
You are?
Yep.
All right. Is that prying for me to ask you this stuff?
No, I don't know.
Do you believe in the whole thing?
In the whole thing being what?
In the whole Joseph Smith story.
Yes, otherwise I wouldn't be a practicing LDS. Practicing.
All right. I kind of feel like with other religions, it's okay to say, hey, you know, this is really BS. But Mormons are in it.
Yeah. Right. Yes, they are.
Does it feel like I'm prying? It feels to me like I'm prying, frankly.
No, I'm not. No, I got no problem.
I really love that. For some reason, I have a lot of Mormon fans at Mixergy. I don't know what it is. They're very comfortable asking for water when I invite them over for scotch, no tea or any of that, which is totally fine. I will pry into the whole LDS thing for hours, but for some reason on camera, I'm not comfortable talking to people about their faith. I don't know what it is.
Hey, that's fine. We'll get you out here in the next little bit and we can sit down and have a great.
No, if I'm paying $12,000, don't tell me anything about it. Just talk to me about it. It is my business. Don't even, right. like, I'll tell you what, if there's spinach in my teeth, don't even tell me about the spinach in my teeth. Say, Andrew, let's get down to business.
All right, you come out, and then I'll come visit you, and then we can have a conversation.
Then we can talk about it over water.
All right.
You know what? I should actually do a sponsorship message. My sponsor is, according to, look at this. I just got a check right here in the mail. There are two things that I've learned about this. First of all, my sponsor is HostGator. I see that they just sent the check. I didn't even open it. And second, look at the name of my company, speaking of company names. And there's the address. I'll put it up. Everyone should actually see where the office is so they can come and say hi. It's called the Andrew Warner Company because I incorporated before I even knew what my company name was going to be. I just needed some incorporation protection. HostGator is paying me good money because they like the audience that we have and they want the audience that we have here at Mixergy to consider hosting their websites, hosting their businesses on HostGator. And if you do, by going to hostgator.com/Mixergy, you will get a whopping 30% off your hosting package. Now, Brad, you and I, before we started the interview, I asked you if you had nothing but a HostGator account and you had to start a brand new business, what would it be?
Yeah, so I've got a passion around helping people identify areas in their life where it just sucks up a ton of their time and energy, and breaking that stuff down and making it easier. And one of those is in personal finance. So I came up with a personal finance system that, with an Excel spreadsheet and setting up bank accounts a certain way, you can literally spend about 15 minutes a week and have complete control over your finances. So
what would you do on that website? Would you teach it?
What I would do is So what I would do, I'd create like the standard, I'd have an opt-in. So I'd create like some initial information that can get them excited about what I'm talking about. And then I'd have a course and I'd put a course up online that people could buy into, keep it super, at that level, cause you're talking about personal finances, right? We'd play around with pricing. I know I'd probably get beat up by some other people about needing to charge more or whatever,
but you'd start off small, maybe play around with it later on. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'd throw that up. So I'd have some opt-in pieces. I'd have a simple website that is, this is what we do. I'd have a page that talks about the people that have gone through our program that love it. I'd have a place where people could opt in to get some free information. I'd have a place that explains what the program looks like and the ability to buy it. And then I'd create some way for them to be able to come in and actually access the content once they bought.
All right. You're super into marketing automation, right? You're one of the best in the planet. I understand that you'd give something away for free as a way of getting people in your system. Everybody does that. What's the part that is Brad Six Division magic that you would add to that flow that would get more customers than the person who's listening to us?
My approach has always been that a lot of people like to lead with something that's free, meaning the quality of what they're creating is the quality of something that they would give away for free. My approach is anytime we give anything away for free, I want it to be something that I could charge easily $100 for. Okay. And people would get it and consider it valuable. And what happens is when you do that, so it's that combined with I want to ask for feedback because I want to know what people are saying after the fact. And I believe that your best marketing asset is the value that you provide and the experience that you create for your leads, your prospects, your customers.
Wait, we got to be more specific than that. So you'll offer something for free. What's the free thing that you would offer for this idea? I'm still in the sponsorship message, but I'm not even going to talk about the sponsor for a minute because I want to understand your mentality. A way for people to, you said, save money, right?
It's a way to manage your finances. I believe that all personal finance systems that have been created are all a copy of a lazy person that built it a long time ago.
Okay, so you have a brand new system.
Yeah.
You have a new website. You want to give something away for free. Do you have a sense of what you might give away for free on this site?
I would probably do a couple part video series, and or what I play around with is that versus like a downloadable free report. Obviously, you got to see what converts better. But I would talk about, I believe there are a couple of core mindset problems that people have that cause personal finance to take up way more of their time than they need to. So what I would do with that, I'd start by delivering that and say, hey, look, here's this pain that you're feeling in your personal finances.
Okay.
Let me tell you why that's there, and it's not what you think it is. It's because you got these three core mindsets that are really messing with how you're looking at finances. We can remove these, and then I would dovetail those into, now, here's the program that will teach you exactly how to go all this. It'll give you the step-by-step, and then I'll walk them through the sales pitch.
Okay. What's the part that's especially magical, especially Six Division-y about that?
Especially Six Division-y. I don't think I've ever been asked that before. For me, it's the approach. Like, I don't know that there's not like a magic, like Six Division button other than when we create those videos, it's not going to be something that we sit around and we're like, hey, this sounds really good. And I think we can trick people into buying what we want because we made this. Uh-huh. It'll be truly something that's valuable that if they walk away and they don't buy, they'll walk away and they'll be better off in their approach to their finances.
What's the most valuable thing you gave away at Six Division for people who gave their email address?
Yeah, it's the thing we started with, and we still have it and drive traffic to it. It's the interview series. When I started off, I did an interview series similar to
what I saw it. The one that you did with Jermaine Griggs, I remember exactly where I was where I listened to it. I think it was a three-parter, was it?
It was. Well, there were follow-up pieces that I did. So
all video, was something like that.
Yeah, we went out to his office, hired a camera crew out there, went out to his office, the one that he goes to never, but we went there for the sake of the interview. And then I did a couple of follow-up pieces that talked about how he does some of the things that he does.
I converted into an MP3, I think, or downloaded as an MP3, and yep. I listened to it on my run. So what made that more special than the average interview?
So it was the interview, and then it was the follow-up pieces where we actually – so we did the interview. And then when you sit down with a guy like Jermaine and really the other people I've interviewed, they're going to talk about a lot of really cool strategic things. And then next comes, well, how do I implement that? Like, it's cool to know what he does, but now how do I implement it? So the next parts of the videos when you go in there are I throw up some whiteboard papers and I print out like, okay, so this is actually what he does and here's how you can go build it. So it's the, like, I'm going to tell you what he does and you can hear it from his mouth and I'm going to translate that into something that you can actually go implement. And I'm just going to walk through and show you exactly what it is.
I see. And so you would, whether it was your business, Sixth Division, or this fantasy business that we're building here on a new site, you would do some real training there. And then, so first you're showing people the pain, then you're helping them understand why the pain is there and what they could do about it and make it a little easier. And then you're showing them the process for doing it themselves. Am I getting it right or am I imagining it?
Yeah, totally. And the goal for me is I want prospects that don't buy to leave and be better off because they interacted with me, even though they didn't buy my product.
Gotcha. All right. So if you have an idea for a new business or just want to steal Brad's idea, all you have to do is go to hostgator.com/Mixergy. You can put your site up in minutes. And the fact that you're using open source software like WordPress and they give you this one-click install means that if you hate them, you could just take your stuff and move it to another hosting company. But I don't think you're going to hate them. I think you're going to love them like so many other people do. And if you have any trouble, I think you're going to really appreciate the fact that they have a real phone number, like Brad does, where you can call up and actually have somebody pick up the phone and talk to you and really help you through it. In a past interview, I tested it. Actually pulled out my phone, and within a minute and a half, I got through to someone. And I actually asked my interviewee, what do you think of that? He goes, well, that took a little bit long. So a minute and a half, if that's not too long for you, go to hostgator.com/Mixergy. And the reason he said it was long is because he wanted to talk. He came here to do an interview, not to watch me get on the phone for a minute and a half. Hostgator.com/Mixergy. And I'm grateful to them for sponsoring and for sending this. All right. So now you've got an idea. You've got a co-founder. You've got some real clarity. How do you get your first client?
Oh, man. So we went to our very first client in what I would call our Sixth Division products and services. We were batting around ideas of how we were going to offer services, right? So this is early on, and we don't really know what the right way to do services is. We just know we don't want to do, like, quoting hourly projects. So we had a couple of different offerings that we created, and we decided to create one that was going to be called The Makeover, and we're going to charge $10,000 to come hang out with us for 2 days or something. Now, okay. Keep in mind, I have never charged somebody more than like $3,000 to do anything. And the whole idea of this was, we got it from Dan Kennedy. He introduced us to it, but the idea of raise the price ceiling and then you can come back in and sell the thing you really want to sell and it won't seem as expensive, right?
Kind of like Apple selling those $10,000 or so edition watches, knowing that what they really want to sell is the Apple Watch Standard or the Sport.
Right, and all of a sudden it doesn't look expensive when you're looking at it through the lens of a $17,000 watch. Right,
so you come up with this $10,000 do-it-for-you makeover. People fly in, they sit at your office, and you guys will set them right within 2 days, basically what you described to me before.
Yep, and okay. And we created it with very little intention of actually selling it.
Okay.
Like, it was one of those like, okay, if we can sell it, cool, but it's probably not going to happen.
Okay.
So at this point, Dave is transitioning out of the other company that lead him to. He was still there, and I had since left, and he was transitioning out. And he texts me one day and he's like, dude, I think I sold one. And I text him back. I'm like, sold one what? And he's like, a makeover, 10 grand. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't even know how we're going to deliver that. Like, we don't have any, we never really planned to sell that thing. It was a guy out in Georgia who had just bought Infusionsoft the week before. And he called up and said, hey, I've heard stories of people buying Infusionsoft and leaving the Ferrari in the garage and I don't want it. So he came out and he sat with me for 2 days, and I didn't have near the structure of the process that we have now, but we went through and we built a ton of stuff into his business, and his business took off. It was awesome. But that was the first client. He came off of I don't even know how he found us. But he found Dave. I think he went through like the marketplace and found us. So that was where the first client came from. Where most of our clients have come from is we've always been a sponsor at Infusionsoft's big user conference.
Weren't you also sponsoring Yarrow? Not Yarrow. What's his name? Silver.
Yannick Silver?
Yannick. I don't know why I blanked on his name. Yannick Silver's event?
Yeah, we did. The first year we were in business, we did seven figures in our first year. And it was because if there was an event where we thought there was somebody who might be using Infusionsoft, we were spending money and we were there. So when we went to Yannick's event, our sponsorship was, I don't know, probably like 10 grand, and we got 6 minutes on stage in a booth. And so we did like a quick hard-hitting pitch with an opt-in piece, text to opt-in or whatever, but we went there. We did GKIC events. So largely it's been go to events, get people to want to buy our makeover. We made it where everybody's got to travel to us. And then our strategy really was there will not be a person that comes and works with Sixth Division that doesn't leave and doesn't love us, period.
All right, let me break down this whole process of getting customers. But first, I should actually, I got to do that so that the camera lightens up a little bit. I'm a very dark person, and when I hold up something white like this on the screen, camera thinks I'm white, and in this case, it didn't go too dark, so I got to adjust it.
All right.
The first customer I get, the marketplace, that is Infusionsoft's marketplace of people, of service providers and software that help make Infusionsoft better. It's a really smart addition for them to offer it, and they make it easily. In fact, they almost push you to notice that it's there when you log in.
Right.
So that's where the first customer came from. The second set of customers, was it from the Infusionsoft conference that you got them? So you go to the Infusionsoft conference. You paid how much to get to speak there, if anything?
It's about $30,000.
$30,000. Where do you get $30,000 that you're going to speak at this conference?
Credit cards. You can put anything on credit cards.
So you really put it on your credit cards?
Yeah, we did.
You're
not
a family man with kids who depend on you. Did you feel like, what am I doing putting this money on my credit card?
You know, no, like I wasn't even processing at a level where I really understood. I mean, at the same time, we signed a personally 3-year personally guaranteed lease on the space that we're in now. And then we committed to go to sponsor InfusionCon. And it was, you know, it's $5,000 a month, I think. And we were putting on a credit card or whatever. And at that point, like, I tell the story now and I kind of laugh at like those were not great financial decisions. I didn't even stop and cross my mind. I was like, look, we've got like we have to be there. There's no way that we cannot be at that conference if we're really going to own this. So it wasn't even really a consideration. If I were doing it again in a new business and I was considering going to an initial conference, there I would think a little bit more about it. I hadn't even got to that process, that point where I could even process what I was doing. It would just
it does seem to make sense, though. Infusionsoft conference, you get all these Infusionsoft customers who are there. They care enough to pay tons of money to come to the conference. I mean, it's not that expensive of a conference, but they fly out there. They have to give up some work, et cetera. And you get up on stage. They let you sell from the stage. If you could only sell 3 of these services, then you end up making your money. But actually, that's 3 at full price, $10,000. It turns out, according to my notes, you didn't have the guts to charge a full
$10,000. No, not a chance on earth. Remember, that $10,000 was literally like, we're not going to sell that. And so we went into the conference and we were going to sell the makeover. We were going to sell it for $5,000. And then Dave went out to lunch or dinner or something with Clay, with the CEO of Infusionsoft. And he said, look, if you're going to sell it for five, you might as well sell it for six. There's no price elasticity. And like, I'm already literally freaking out about getting up on stage and selling from stage for $5,000. And now we're going to add another $1,000 on top of it. So yeah, we sold $6,000. And on top of that, we gave them a 3-pay option with no interest. Like, anyway.
So of course, everyone's going to take the 3-pay option.
Yes.
Did you have people flake on you on that?
I had a few, not a ton.
Do you say from the stage that gets people to buy from you?
So I got up that year and I walked them through, at that point it was the iteration, I walked them through what, at that point I was calling it the they do, I do process. And what it is it's a process for how to unpack your brain is the term that we use, but how to get the ideas of how you want your business to work, how to get them out in a way that you can actually go build. So everything that we do is I want to make sure that in all the services we do, we're building a structured process that anybody else can follow and that we could actually install in a company when we leave so they can be successful. So I walked them through that process, and at that point for them, it's there's been a lot of iterations since then, but at that point for them, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was basically like, oh, there's hope. Like, this thing can work. There's a method to the madness.
And so you were teaching them this process that you developed.
Literally what I did is I got up and we had an hour for 50 minutes. I walked them through the process, and I gave them time to do their own, like, blueprint, And then at the end, I basically said, okay, now here are some people that have come out and worked with us. It was Sean Greeley and Dan Bradbury. And they had won Ultimate Mark. They had won contests with Infusionsoft before. So they got up and said, hey, these guys are really smart. And I said, hey, so we have a makeover and you can come out and we can do this for you. It'll cost $6,000. I still have the slide deck. Cost $6,000 or 3x2,000. Come sign up. And then there was a rush that I'd never experienced before.
How many people bought?
That night, I think there were 35 or 40 that bought. And by the time we left the conference, that conference we left was 66.
66. We're talking about $396,000 in sales.
Yep.
And you can't even drink champagne because you're LDS. You must have gotten the best Avion they had at the hotel.
I will never forget walking back. So like I'm on stage and everybody comes and asks me questions, right? So I have no idea what's going on in the back of the room. We get done and we walk out and I'm exhausted because I'm like freaked out the whole time I'm presenting, like nobody's going to even listen to me. We get out and we start walking back to our room and there was four or five of us or whatever. And I'm like, so how many did we do? And they're like 37 or 38 or whatever. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? And my brain didn't even process anything else. It's like that just happened. Like we just did. I couldn't even process the fact that that just happened. I was kind of in a stupor all the way back to the hotel room and then I couldn't sleep, but you know, it's all good. Yeah.
The process. I'm thinking about, frankly, somebody listening to us copying you, not so much for Infusionsoft, but saying to themselves, I work at a company where there's something that I do really well. People are paying tons of money to buy it from the company. Would they want to pay me as a consultant to make it better, to set it up for them, and so on? In fact, there's someone in my audience specifically who does, for a major company, he does procurement services. Apparently, these big companies hire this major company. Actually, I'll say that. Well, no, I shouldn't say their name. They're a very well-known company that bigger companies hire to help with procurement services. And he says, you know what? I could do this for them as a consultant, even help them work with my major company because they could use my help. What they need is that system. How do you figure out your system that you could get up on stage and teach and sell to people confidently for $6,000, even though it's worth $10,000 or more? Where do you come up with the process? How do you put it together?
Lots and lots of hours. Malcolm Gladwell talks about 10,000 hours.
But there are a lot of people who do 10,000 hours. They don't know what they do. They feel it, right?
Yeah. So there's two elements. You got to have the time. It's about the time and the actual like in the trenches expertise. It doesn't count. And the other thing is you've got to have a really, really high what's the word I'm looking for? You've got to be stubborn. Like I'm stubborn to the point where I don't want to do anything unless I'm building a system or a process that other people can come behind and follow. It's the way that I'm wired.
I wouldn't expect that because I could see it in your output. I could see it in your interview with Jermaine. Where can someone get that interview with Jermaine? I think it's really good.
I don't even know.
Go Google it. In fact, if you Google it, you won't even be hit with an email request anymore, the one that I saw. It's just available online.
It's on Jermaine's site. You can just go watch it. He'll be the one that pops up. But yeah, you can go to Jermaine's site on his blog and look for Brad Martineau interviews.
I saw it on Automation Clinic.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Jermaine's site.
That's his site.
Yep.
Yeah, and frankly, it's just a Wistia video. I don't remember how I converted it into an MP3, but I did, so I can listen to it on the run. So I see the systems in the way you talk, but help me understand how that played itself out before you started a company so that when you started your company, you had the system to count on. How did that play itself out when you were working at Infusionsoft?
So I spent about a year and a half doing freelance consulting in between the time that I got laid off from Infusionsoft and the time that we started Sixth Division. And in that time, again, one of the reasons why I hated that so much is because it was just like brand new projects over and over. Like everything was brand new and there's no structure to it. So as I started working with those people, what I'm looking for is how do I make this easier for me to do the next time? And so I started to look for like literally my brain is always processing through, okay, if I meet with an Andrew or I meet with
a real estate. There's no Andrew, the Andrew.
Right, the Andrew, yes, my apologies. If I meet with the Andrew, I meet with a real estate agent, I meet with a mortgage professional, I meet with a bankruptcy attorney, I'm thinking through like the people I worked with back then, somebody who runs he's a vet for dogs and he's got some info products. I mean, with any of them, how do I listen to what they're doing and then have a systematic process for documenting it? So for me, it was a tool for me.
So will you actually go, I did this set of interviews on how to systemize And here's how deeply I got into it. I used to host poker at my house on a regular basis. I had a checklist for what needs to happen before poker's ready. Like, make sure you wipe down the toilet so that it looks clean. Make sure, you know, like all the little details like that were taken care of. But it's just a house poker game. Most people would say that's a little excessive. I felt really relieved by it because it allowed me to prepare to have people over for poker on a regular basis. Anyway, to that degree I went. Do you do that too, or are we just talking about business?
No, absolutely. I believe, like, the reason why Sixth Division exists, and this is something I've discovered about myself, I've got a deeply held belief that most people in the world spend most of their time caught up in things that just don't matter. And so, like, if you don't have that checklist, then what you do before your poker night is you've got a flurry of activity to get ready, and it's weighing on your mind. When you have a checklist, what happens is it takes you way less time to get it done, and you're not thinking about it before, you're not thinking about it afterwards, and what it does is it creates space in your life for you to consider other things that are more important. So for me, like on the business side, that's really what we do. The structure is actually what allows us to get to important conversations like, what should my messaging be in the first place? Am I even offering the right set of products or services? Most people can't get past, well, where should I put this email, and how do I build it in Infusionsoft, and how do I get my reporting? When we can just eliminate all of that because it's systematic, all of a sudden we get to have...
So you, when you were working for Infusionsoft, literally end a phone call and update a checklist or make it as you went along, or was it just this mental checklist that you were building without even being aware of it?
It was... The checklist component came later. The first piece, and I didn't do this when I was at Infusionsoft, I was working on building the product, not really the consulting side. But when I first started doing this, it was primarily it wasn't a checklist of here are the things to do. That came afterwards. It was how do I sit down with the Andrew, listen to his business, and then how do I display it so I can turn it around and say, hey, here's what I'm gonna go build for you. And have it make sense where I could do it for any company. So it was a worksheet. And in my mind, I had a set of guidelines around it. And once we had that outlined, then I went and I started to create a checklist of, okay, here's how we're going to run the makeover process. Here are all the things that are going to happen.
So you know what? You mentioned the Andrew. I want to be real in this interview and be myself. So I'll have to admit that one of the reasons why I jumped in and said the Andrew is because I was looking at past interviews and I felt like I'm not owning the camera anymore. I'm not owning I am good at the conversation, but I'm not owning my presence. I'm only admitting my weaknesses and not showing my strengths. And so I said, I've got to start doing more of that. And at that point where I said, no, the Andrew, it was a result of that. And I go, this is a little bit too much. Now I'm becoming a little bit like those jerky bloggers that I can't respect. And it's time to scale it back or at least acknowledge it. And then you parroted it back. And I said, all right, perfect opportunity for me to talk about that. But let's move on. You get off the stage, you get all these sales. It's terrific. But at the same time, you end up with payment issues. In fact, you had an issue with American Express and disputes. What happened?
Yeah, American Express. So we had a guy that bought. Didn't fill out his order form the right way, and so we charged the full pay of $6,000. And the event ended on a Friday, so we charged it that night. And then Saturday, some point, he never reached out to us. He basically went to Amex and ran a dispute because he mentally thought he had checked off the 3x2,000. And so Amex, it's the whole game of merchant accounts, right? Like, we had gone to our merchant account and told him, hey, we're going to see a spike in processing. We're a fairly new merchant account anyway. But we hadn't learned the lesson that Amex plays by their own rules, and they don't get communication from your other merchant account. So they got a dispute. It wasn't a chargeback. It was just a dispute. And they locked up not only all the money we'd already charged, but they locked up all new charges from Amex that went through. And it ended up being, they held, I think it was like $175,000 or $180,000 for 6 or 12 months or something. We got little bits and pieces back. But
whoa. Well, at least, actually, does that cause problems for you? You don't have any inventory. You don't have to, you don't have cost of goods sold. If anything, it's kind of helpful, I imagine, because it reduces your taxes, because I imagine you were on a cash basis back then.
We were on a cash basis. This was at the beginning of the year, so we got all the money by the time by the time the year was done. But what it did do is, again, like, super young business, not necessarily like we hadn't wrapped our head around it. Like, we were not on top. We didn't have our thumb on the pulse of like the administrative and the finances stuff. So what it did is it forced us to be smart in a time where we could have been really stupid. Like, we could have been like, oh, sweet, we made it. Let's go do this and this and this. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you made it, but you're not getting your money. And so it forced us to be smart. And there was some pressure of like, all right, this is going to be tight, but we never really ran into any real problems. It was more just the chance of problems, but it forced us to be smart because we didn't have extra cash laying around. So I look at it and say, Thank you, Amex, but you do not need to do that again.
I've got to say to anyone who's listening to us, if you ever have a problem with a company that is a smaller, newer company, don't dispute it. It really hurts the company so badly that it becomes a memorable experience for them. Now, I'm not holding it against anyone who does it, but I do know that I look very favorably on someone who emails back and says, hey, you know, I've had this issue. I don't want to dispute it. Are you guys for real? Is everything okay? Yeah. Or even if someone does a dispute and we check in with them and they go back to the credit card company and say, you know what? I'm working it out with the company. I made a mistake. Because it's so much damage that you could do that the opposite is incredibly helpful and appreciative. And new entrepreneurs get all those disputes directly in their inbox, which means that 5 years later when they're searching their inbox to get your phone number so that they can contact you because you've started to do business or whatever or refer you to someone else, boom, that comes up and they never forget it. It's such an easy thing to do properly and an easy thing to do. And
I still remember the guy's name.
I bet you do. I'm not even going to ask you to embarrass him because I know that's not who you are. But yeah, you remember that stuff. And I don't think he meant to do anything bad. I think it's just you're not aware of the fact that there's a real person on the other side of it. And there's an advantage to be had by dealing with them like a real person. Thankfully, we use Stripe, so everything seems to be okay for us. And our dollar amounts are smaller per sale. So if this ever comes up, people do deal with me very well, and I'm always appreciative. But I can't imagine what would happen if it was early on. All right, I'm still looking down at my notes. That's why I'm not looking you in the eye.
No, you're good.
I'm ignoring you. So now you do this. You then continue with other conferences. It's getting up on stage that really matters. The first one, you were training, and then you did this small pitch at the end. Can you give me a tip based on having done this over and over again now that the rest of us can learn about how to sell from the stage properly?
This is kind of my formula when I create my presentations, and it's worked to whatever extent that it's worked for us. We're where we are and we're doing all right. You got to start at the end and figure out what mental state does the person that I'm going to try and get to buy need to be in for them to make a buying decision. Now, what that requires is it requires what do I need them to get excited about? And then also what do I need to realize are going to be their concerns? And so I've got my offer, and you ought to have things in your offer that correspond with what they're going to get excited about. So you really got what's included in the offer, what are they going to get excited about, what are all the concerns I'm going to have to deal with. And then my style is I'm going to teach real content for the duration of the time. So I don't create fake content just for selling. I'm going to teach real content so that people can leave and say, that was freaking amazing, even if they bought or didn't buy. But in the content, what you got to do is you've got to take all the elements in your offer, all the things you want them to be excited about, and all the concerns they're going to have, and you've got to address them throughout your content so that by the time you get to the very end, they're not hearing all that for the first time.
So what's something they might be concerned about that you would work into your content?
I'm a brand new Infusionsoft user. I just started. Am I I'm not ready for you guys yet.
Gotcha. So how do you weave that in earlier into the presentation?
So one way to do that is I would take an example of what we're teaching. And then I would bring a customer of ours up and I would say, so look, as an example of what I mean by this point, here's this person. And this person came to us when they had been on Infusionsoft for a week. And we've got a bunch of other clients like this person, like brand new Infusionsoft users. And here was the outcome that happened for them.
I see.
And
now you've addressed it, huh?
Another way is like when you have bonuses or different elements of the offer, what I want to do is at the end of the presentation, I want them to have the least amount of processing time. So if I have a bonus of, we have a membership on the back end where you get ongoing help and support after you do a makeover. It's called the Premier Membership right now. We're going to rename it, but I've got that. Now, I want the person to be excited about that because it's super valuable, but there's no way at the end when I'm trying to get them to go buy and take action that I'm going to be able to explain what it is. So I want to talk about that in my presentation. I would do it the same way. Hey, so in our Premier, a third of the way through, I'm going to talk about how we can help with one or two or three things in our Premier membership. I want to make sure that when I get into my pitch, anything that I'm addressing in my pitch, I should have already addressed at least once in my presentation.
I see. All right. I think I've got everything here. Actually, maybe we should talk a little bit about the products. So you still have that two-day
makeover. Yep.
And then you have two other products according to your website. What are they right now?
So I'm going to go away from the website because I'm going to tell you as of the middle of July what we're going to have, which is really what's going forward. That's all right with you. So we've got the makeover, which is I want to come out and I want this done at lightning speed and I want your system that I can take and I can install in my business. It's the makeover, 2 days. You come out, sit down one-on-one with one of our consultants here. We're in Arizona. The other offering that we have is I can give you the methodology and the system. So if you've got, I believe that if someone's going to get into automation and in particular Infusionsoft or whatever tool, they're going to be at a disadvantage if they don't have somebody internally that understands and owns how to use it. And I don't mean like knows where to drag and drop. I mean knows how to take what's in your head from a strategy standpoint and get it built. So we've got the entire program with all the video training and all of the resources and worksheets. We can give it to you and you can go through and you can learn it yourself and use it as a training library if you've got to let go or let go of an employee or give them a
– I think I even saw one of your customers in preparation for this interview. Didn't he have like templates that you sell them or something?
Yeah. So – and then that's the one that we're coming out with. So our offering that will be ready to go first week in July is we've gone through and what we've realized is across all the different business types, when you get to the campaigns, now again, I deal in the world of automation and systems, like the structure of a webinar campaign, doesn't matter what business you're in, the structure is the same. And there are some variations, but the structure of that's the same. The structure of how you'd run a sales process is the same. The structure of how you'd run like a membership site, it's the same. Now, the content might change, and you might have some nuances, but they're all the same. So what we've done is we've gone through and we built a library. Right now, we're sitting at about 35 campaigns. There's really about 10 or 15 core campaigns, and then we've got variations. So we're going to have this membership. It'll be called the Automators Membership, and there are three things that come with that. One, you come in, and we will, every month, you get a credit into our library, and basically we can push a button and drop the entire campaign into your application totally built with baseline set a copy, you just go change the content and the thing's ready to go.
Got it.
Second thing you get is every week we'll hop on a phone call. We do a live group phone call. You can ask any questions you want about the campaign that you're trying to build. And then the third piece, because we've got a systematic process for implementing, we've also built, and this is what will be ready come the first week in July, a dashboarding tool where once you build following our methodology or once we just drop the campaign into your app, you can log into our tool. And you'll have a full dashboard that tells you where people are right now, what's been happening over whatever time frames, and what your conversion looks like.
All right, because you're talking about like those little widgets that Infusionsoft gives you with numbers showing you where everyone is.
Well, and those you have to go build all those out after you build the campaign. With ours, you just log in, and literally as soon as the campaign's built, it shows up in our tool.
You know what? As I talk about this, I realize maybe I shouldn't be talking about this publicly because the whole marketing automation thing has a bad reputation. Info marketing or education marketing or content has a really bad reputation too. It feels like it's not real. People might be losing respect for us. Forget us. They don't know you. They're learning from you right now. They might be losing respect for me. What do you say about that? This whole space is a little bit unrespected. I'll go with that word.
You're talking about the info marketing space?
Yes. And even frankly, marketing automation outside of software.
So yeah, we're talking about the same people. Like, I mean, you're talking about colleges, like the info marketing space, like same thing, right? I mean, for me, information is, it's a training, it's a program, right? So if a certification is okay, how is a certification okay, but information's not? How is a college degree okay, but information's not? Like, there is no difference other than the college decided that they get to hand out a little piece of paper that somebody else thinks is important. And so for me, like, I don't pay attention to it because I want to go learn. Anyone that has accomplished any level of success realizes that it's like, I loved on your blog, not your blog, but your About Us page, where you talk about what Mixergy is about. Like, I want to get people together that can inspire other people to go do what they do. I want to inspire people to have a cause. I want to, like, all the things that you listed off on there. And the one that I love, this is the one that came to mind, is I want to help people understand that no one person knows it all.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, it's a sharing of information. And there's this, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of people, like, there's a lot of people that think that information ought to be free because it's information. And I think that where you create value, you should be compensated. So if I can come into your world and I can say, hey, you've got a business and I can show you how to do all this stuff easier and it's going to save you a bunch of time and help you make a bunch of money, I just created value. And there's no reason in my mind why I shouldn't be compensated for that. So,
all right. So suppose Mixergy starts working with you.
Uh-huh.
We come in for 2 days. I know it would be me and a writer who would come in, right?
Okay.
I have to fly the writer out. We put us both in a hotel, but you guys are in Arizona, so it can't be that expensive, right?
No. Nope.
It's not like San Francisco where it's going to be $500 a night.
Nope.
We do 2 days. I end up walking away with all the email scripts, if she can write fast enough, ready to go, right?
Yep.
The automation is in Infusionsoft, ready to go.
Yep.
Inevitably, and the landing pages are ready to go, right?
Yep.
Frankly, they're ready to go anyway. Inevitably, what's going to happen is a week later, things won't be that good, or we want to improve them.
Yep.
Do we improve it on our own?
So it depends. After you leave, we do have another program that's an ongoing program where we can do service. It's called our Elite 100 program. And so if you decide to roll into that, you'll have a coach that you'll work with. And there are different levels, so it depends on what you decide to do. But we can help on an ongoing basis to make tweaks and changes. But again, like our long-term vision is, I don't want Mixergy or anybody else's company's success to be dependent on us. I want to help. But what we're going to do is we're going to help implement and install this system and process of implementing so that at some point you don't need us. And the reason why you stay around is because we're providing value above and beyond just here's how to drag this stuff here and cross T's
who
and
does it. Actually, how often can we get together with you guys? That's the part where I think I could open up to the audience so they could see me before we walk out there.
Uh-huh.
They see me afterwards with what we have. And yep. Then ongoing, I think following along is interesting.
Yeah, typically, so anyone that gets into our Elite 100 program, we're on the phone once a month. How long we're on the phone depends on kind of which option you get into, but we're checking in monthly, and if our clients need more, then when you're in the Elite 100 program, we'll do that at a discount if you need more time. So it's really...
What's the price of that, the Elite 100? It seems like that's where I need to be.
Yeah, there's two different levels. The base level is $1,000 a month, and we do a couple of masterminds in person at our office. We do a monthly call with me and all the other Elite 100 members, and then you get a one-on-one call with your coach. And then the higher tier is $2,500 a month, and you do all of that. Plus, you come out every 6 months, and you do another makeover.
Okay. All right. I like it. I want to find a way to get this done, and I think it would be compelling for the audience. And I'll tell you why I think it's compelling. I had this little Slack group that I created. Did I say this in this interview? No, I said it in a past interview. I was interviewing a guy in Japan who happened to be on Slack and all these communities. I said, I got to try Slack. Nobody's inviting me to a Slack group. And he goes, yeah, well... they're all very restricted. I said, you create one right here. And he did. And I'm in there and I'm going in there and I'm saying, look, here's what I tweaked today. What do you guys think? And they're giving me this great feedback, you know, and I'm getting excited because they're all watching as I do it. And then we see the results and we go back and forth and feels like this camaraderie. And I want more of that.
Yes.
All right. I'm not going to follow up with Chase on this because Chase is not going to give me a deal. Who do I follow up with to make this happen?
I will follow up with you. I've got your number. I'll make it happen.
All right. But can we lock something up? I would say I want to talk to my team on Thursday and see if I can get my writer out. We talk after that?
Nick. So Friday we've got all day. We've got a consultant coming in. So we're going to be tied up all day Friday. But if you get back to me, so I'll hit you. Well, you've got all my info. If you follow up with me after you meet on Thursday, I can get back to you. Maybe Friday if I got a window, depending on if we get done early. Otherwise, Monday for sure.
All right. Congratulations on all your success. Everyone out there who wants to check out the rest of Mixergy, frankly, not the rest of Mixergy. If you want the rest of Mixergy, you have to go to Mixergy.com and sign up and pay for all the old archive. But if you don't want the old archive, if you want all the things that are new as I come out with them, all you have to do is subscribe to the podcast. When you do, you get every single new interview for free. And where do you go to get that? Whatever podcast app you like, even if it's that piece of garbage that Apple includes with their app. Don't even use it, frankly. Go install Overcast or Downcast if you're on iOS, or if you are on Android. I really like DCcast. There's so many good ones, but whatever you prefer, search for Mixergy, M-I-X-E-R-G-Y. Sign up and you get every single interview as I publish it online, just like this one, Brad. The website is Sixth Division. You know what? I have a very New York accent when I say the number. When I say sixth. Can you say the company name?
Yeah, Sixth Division.
SIXTHDIVISION. And I'm really grateful to you for doing the interview. Oh, and I'm also grateful to Anne-Marie Ward for hooking it up. She went to Infusionsoft, to ICON, the Infusionsoft conference. She met you. She figured out what your revenues were by talking to you and said, Andrew, you got to interview this guy. And so we did.
Awesome.
You bet. Thank you all for being a part of it. Bye, everyone.